This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 178. So today we are joined by Warren Waldborn of Pentwater Group. Warren has an illustrious business, commercial and entrepreneurial background. He's even spent time on Wall Street. He now finds himself down in Mindanao, which is one of the secondary islands here down in the Philippines. And we have a really good conversation about his business background and then also his thoughts on the emerging, if not booming, outsourcing sector here in the Philippines. So really interesting conversation. I'm sure you will enjoy. If you want any of the show notes or to get in touch with Warren, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/178. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm joined by Warren Waldborn of Pentwater Group. Hi, Warren. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great, great. Thank you, and thanks so much for joining us. You're obviously, maybe people can tell by the accent, you're from the US. You are based down in Mindanao, near Davao, which is one of the sort of secondary or tertiary tier cities in the Philippines, and have an outsourcing consultancy. So I'm really excited to hear your insights into outsourcing, and also, you know, you have a pretty stellar business career to boot from all sorts of different backgrounds. So I'm really happy to have you on board. I suppose initially, can you just introduce yourself and kind of explain to the audience a little bit about your business background and how you found yourself in Mindanao?
Sure. Well, I started my career really as an entrepreneur, you know, at a young age, starting businesses. And my dad, whole family's been sort of serial entrepreneurs. And so came from kind of that breeding. And my parents saw to it that, you know, I had a good education, you know, got an undergraduate degree in economics from BYU in the States, and then went to Wall Street for a few years, was able to, you know, get an MBA from the University of Chicago, where I helped launch I was one of the founders of a program there called the LEAD program that launched the University of Chicago from, at the time, was ranked number 11 in the nation, and business schools launched it to the number 2 position. Wow. In the business school rankings. Accordingly, I was able to teach the first session, the very first class of that as a student there, which was kind of cool. And so I had a wonderful experience there at the University of Chicago. And then went back to Wall Street and, you know, did some investment banking, broke off into the energy technology field. You know, a lot of investment bankers, you know, they kind of tire of the street and go off into industry. And I chose energy at the time when it was sort of not very sexy. And then Enron came along and, you know, made it really exciting. You know, both up and down. But for a time there, I was running an energy technology venture capital fund, $90 million. We were looking at all the different energy technologies. That was a super cool experience. When Enron sort of blew up, the company I was with was a corporate venture group, gave me the biggest check I'd ever seen in my life to close my group, and went on to found a medical device company that we ran for a few years and sold, and then ran an energy technology company. Thanks to the EPA outlawing our product line, We closed that business after 12 years, and cross currents of various events led my life to the love of my life here in the Philippines, And so coming here and seeing the business opportunities here, it was irresistible to get involved in outsourcing, something I'd always been interested in from, you know, several years ago, because I actually believed in the concept so much from, well, really, I don't know, 5, maybe 8 years ago, I started outsourcing certain tasks in my company that I was running, the energy technology company. We had hired, you know, some independent freelancers to do certain things, and had a whole team of freelancers. We never used an outsourcing, you know, a BPO company per se, but if we'd known about you, Derek, we would have probably had an easier path to to do that.
Yeah. Well, I often say, like, there's a lot of people out there that they just really need an easier on-ramp into outsourcing, don't they? It's still a little bit ambiguous at the moment, which I think obviously people like ourselves, but also you and, you know, consulting groups and just people that are just generally increasing education levels and awareness levels, it's got to help the sort of general businessman ease into outsourcing.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so that's quite a sea change, yeah? And, you know, obviously you've been at the forefront of a lot of sectors. You've been on Wall Street, you've been in energy tech, and, you know, in Chicago University with kind of business programs. What is it about outsourcing then that kind of captures your imagination? And, you know, I personally see it as sort of probably one of the most transformative and powerful business tools out there. But how do you kind of assess the whole outsourcing opportunity?
Well, I'm as a serial entrepreneur, I love seeing opportunities in the market. I think I haven't had a chance to, I'm behind in my email, but I saw a blurb of an article that either you wrote or somebody wrote and published on the Accelerator about 35 million SMEs are about to discover outsourcing,
yeah,
you know, in the
nice,
coming
yeah.
time. And you know, and so I like to say that, you know, we're trying to be ahead of the curve and recognize this and help people, you know, find what we found. And I have, you know, we have clients that are just able to completely dominate their industry because they outsource and they focus on the important stuff, and they, you know, they're able to outsource you know, things to us that they shouldn't be spending their time on, really, frankly. And there's certain things that we can do better because we can allocate, we can put a lot of resources, you know, on these things, on these tasks. And, you know, it helps the companies focus on growth and you know, other things that, you know, they need to focus on with their U.S.-based talents. Our thing is we're not trying to take jobs away from the U.S. We want the U.S.-based jobs to get better because, you know, ultimately there's a lot of things that SMEs, all companies, there's a lot of things that don't get done. There's not enough time. There's not enough resources. But they're important things that need to be done. And, you know, a lot of companies are trying to pawn off customer service. Hey, let's face it, customer service is time-intensive. Costs a lot of money, and a lot of other things like that, you know, marketing things. You know, we'll get into some more of those things later, but there's a lot of stuff that's just you know, not getting. So we're big advocates. We're excited to be at the forefront, we believe, of a major transformative you know, experience in the minds of all of these SMEs, you know, in the West. I have noticed that the term BPO here in the Philippines is a household name. It's a household term. Everybody knows what it is. I go to the U.S. and I talk BPO this, BPO that, and I get these blank stares from people like, what does that mean? You know, and then I explain, okay, well, it stands for business process outsourcing, and they have to think about that term, you know, to put those three words together. What does that mean? And then they still, you know, so it's not a household term in the U.S. People haven't come to grips with, you know, what this, the opportunity that this presents.
And what is the general awareness like? Because it was us that wrote that article. There's We looked at the numbers for about 9 or 10 of the primary high-cost English-speaking countries, and there's about 35 million SMEs in those countries, with about 100 million employees, with about $12 trillion of turnover. And I would suggest that maybe only 0.5% of those are outsourcing, if that. And I'm really quite staggered, because it seems that people that are in the know are in the know, but then there's the people that aren't in the know, and you might as well be talking about kind of aliens in Mars. It really, it's just not on people's agenda, is it? And as you say, with a lot of operations stuff, there are things that need to get done, but people are busy, people are tied up, and I think that kind of outsourcing can often fall into that bucket. Yeah, people might have an inkling about it, but they're busy, and maybe operations aren't broken, so don't fix it. So it never really goes that much further.
Yeah, and it takes leadership. It's going to take some serious leadership at the top levels of these SMEs to say, you know what, we're gonna be better. We're gonna be better faster, and we're not gonna sit around with the status quo, and tolerate these meager levels of growth. We want to be better, grow our profits, grow our business, grow our bottom line, grow our customer base. And this is the key to doing it.
And everything is hyper optimized in a mature market now, isn't it? In the US and most of the world markets, everything comes down to the finest margins. And I think when there's something like outsourcing out there, then I think it's imperative that at least people properly assess this opportunity. It might not be right for them, but you've at least got to take a long, hard look at it, haven't you?
Yeah, and I don't really know any business that this is not right for, because everybody wants to grow, everybody needs to market, and everybody needs information. I'll tell you more about Pentwater later when we get into that. But one of the things that we can do for people is we can provide them information that has not previously been available to them. And it's information that is just enables stratospheric growth.
Wow. And I do actually, I really want to deep dive into what Pentwater does. I really want to get you back, and we can sort of, deep dive into those aspects. But, just coming back to an earlier point you made, it's interesting that people, I think, often come and start outsourcing journey thinking that they're going to save money and maybe they'll cut staff and things like that. But actually, very quickly, they realize that outsourcing is about opportunity, isn't it? And when you have access to abundant human resource, at an affordable price, then the sky's the limit with your business, with opportunities, with research, with data mining, with gaining extra information, things like this. And it can really enable you to outcompete your competition.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Where
well said.
do you see some of the kind of the wins that your clients have within kind of implementing outsourcing to their business?
You mean impediments that they have
No, sort
from?
of wins. Kind of, I suppose, strategies that they've implemented that
Oh.
kind of people see upside.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the one that just came roaring back here just this week to my mind was a client of ours that a lot of people are out there pursuing that untouched customer potential. The guy that's they're doing pay per click. They're trying to get those, everybody that's out there in the stratosphere, in the blogosphere, in the web, that's, potential customer. They want to find a way to, to grab that customer. And it's expensive. It's time consuming. I've spent there was a time in one business that I was running, we were spending $7,000 a month on Google AdWords, and we weren't doing it right. We just weren't. So there's consultants that do that, and there's just a lot of money that can get spent on that. However, what I made the mistake that I made at that time, And really, I think a lot of companies are still making this mistake, is they've got, everybody has a database of customers that they have already done business with. Mm-hmm. And what are people doing to maximize that list? Okay, to maximize the value of that list, to bring those customers back in and to market to them. Mm-hmm. And we have the answer to that. We have some very sophisticated tools that we've been able to implement for some of our clients that enable them to, take that list and just monetize it, wow. Make lots of money from that list. And things that, you know what, because here's the thing, Derek, it takes time, it takes human resources, it takes a personal touch. Mm. You know, we're calling people. We're sending them emails. We're reaching out to these people, and they're like, wow, you know, I'm not used to getting calls from my, you know, the company that sold me my blah, 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 whatever it is, you know. Mm. And, you know, a lot of times it's just a customer orientation call. A lot of them are just voicemails. But those people come back because they realize that, hey, there's a company that's looking out for me. Mm. And it's rare. I mean, it's truly rare because, you know, companies just aren't, because they're going after that pay-per-click. They're going after that, you know, that guy that's going to, you know, be a Facebook customer or whatever the source is. They're not monetizing their current list. So that's a big win for that we've been, you know, able to realize for some of our clients.
Yeah, that's huge, isn't it? And I think businesses are so up against it in terms of, in terms of the cost of resources and in terms of their margins. And everything is just kind of done with a bulldozer approach and kind of minimal hours invested in everything. And kind of there's so much left on the table potentially, isn't there? Which I think there's potential to explore with outsourcing and you know, with BPOs and consultancies. So yeah, super, super interesting.
You said that very well. There is so much left on the table by so many companies, and you know what? They're getting by with, you know, these new customers that come to them, but you know, why not create extreme customer and brand loyalty, and just, you know, I have used the term before: beat your competitors, you know, into a pulp. Because you're hanging on to your customers. You're not losing your customers, and you're growing your customer base, but you're keeping the ones you got.
Yeah, it's super, super powerful, isn't it? Thank you so much. So, Warren, if anybody wants to get in touch with you and know more about getting the most they can out of their customers or anything else to do with Pentwater Group, how can they do that?
Sure, its website is pentwatergroup.com. Or the web, my email is just Warren, Warren, at pentwatergroup.com, and we're here, we're cranking. We're in the U. I have a house in the U.S., so we're there part of the year. Here in the Philippines, part of the year, and so we visit our clients in the U.S. Several times a year, face to face, and those that want to come here can visit us here. Not many do, but. We're here running the operation.
Fantastic.
In the Philippines part of the year as well.
That's great. Thank you so much, Warren. And I want to get you back and so we can deep dive in exactly what Pentwater does.
Super.
Okay, that was Warren Walborn of Pentwater Group. If you want to get in touch with Warren, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/178. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then please email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.